It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at filmsociology.tumblr.com. Kobe Slagle has the weekend off because it's July 4th holiday weekend. So happy July 4th to everybody. Happy Independence Day. But somebody who has decided to make us a part of their July 4th festivities, she is a future Hall of Famer professional wrestler. She is sometimes known as Mrs. Robert Irvine. She's a regular guest here on Film Sociology, and like all of the women in my life, a really good sport. Gail Kim is with us. Happy Independence Day, Gail.
Happy 4th of July. I did celebrate Canada Day this week, too, because I'm Canadian.
Yes, happy Canada Day to you. This is a North American program.
Yes, I know. This is great.
So, and
I get the best of both worlds.
Oh, you looked at Robert when you said that. It's okay. So
Robert's on his phone, of course, while he's driving.
Yes, he's driving right now, so it could be a double interview at any time, folks.
Yes.
This is the power of public radio. So what are you guys up to this weekend, if you're willing to share?
So he was just in Philly launching his RI Foods food line this week, so it's very exciting. And he launched it in D.C. Well, we were in Philly, though. We drove to Washington to do that in Giant Foods. So that was really, really exciting for us because, you know, he's been working on this for a couple of years now. And to see it all just come to that moment, it was surreal, right, babe? Yeah, he was very happy.
So can you tell us what some of the products are?
The food products right now that he's starting with are crab cakes, cheesecake that's lower in fat, lower in sugar. They're all better for you products. Pizza and chicken wings, right? Yes. And I've tried them all. Actually, I didn't try the recent pizza and the breaded chicken, he said as well.
Right.
And I love all of them. But the crab cakes, I just recently tried them again, and they're so good. And I'm not just saying that because he's my husband. They're just very, you could tell the quality when you eat them. They're very just full of, just not too greasy. You can tell better for you products.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many times did you have to try them? Because, I mean, you're living in the test kitchen.
People think I'm living in the test kitchen, but I'm actually not because we travel so much. And so, you know, we're lucky when we get to try the foods because we're very rarely home. And when we're home, sometimes it's more on the road that we get a chance to try them. If we're in Philly in his office with the people that work for him, like his executive chef, Shane. And so we go to these Gary Sinise Foundation events as well as Robert Irvine Foundation as well now. And so Shane will cook up a batch of the chicken wings with the new sauce that he tried. And they're just amazing. I love them.
So now the pressure's on. I don't think you can hold any other celebrity food item in your hands.
Well, I mean, what other celebrity food items do I like? honey.
You like Paul Newman's dressing?
I like Paul Newman's dressing.
Well,
yes, this is true.
There's no worry about that.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
I guess there is, right? Yeah, I guess that's it, celebrity-wise. It's true. So, I mean, you know, I love his protein bars. He just launched a new protein bar called Fit Elite. And so my whole thing with I can't have gluten in my protein bars, so I was kind of limited to his bars before. So now with these new bars, I get to eat all of them. And so I really like them. They're a different alternative to the Fit Crunch bars, because the Fit Crunch bars were for the ones that really, you know, like that sweet, maybe almost like a candy bar replacement taste. Mm-hmm. And I kind of liked a little bit in the middle, so where it's kind of a protein bar taste. And so this one really satisfied my needs.
Cool. Well, and yeah. As going back a little bit, Robert Irvine and Paul Newman, that's not bad company.
Yeah, he's good company. You know, he kind of takes charge in, he takes charge in some areas of our life, and then I take charge in others.
Well, I'm not asking that. But I will ask, because of his fitness book, is it true that you tried to take some of the photographs?
No, I did not. I got the real thing in person. You mean pictures of him?
Yes.
No, I get the real thing in person.
just putting it out there, folks. So
yeah.
Now you've looked at the book. How does that regimen differ from yours?
Well, you know, I would say with the book, they kind of kept it to basics, because I would say generally people are always kind of not sure about all the knowledge that's out there, all the education that's out there, and most people, for the general population, they're not as advanced as we are, because we've both been working out since, like, I learned in high school how to weight train and kind of learn through the years through, you know, overtraining, undertraining, through wrestling training, everything. You kind of learn as you go. And so this is for people who don't really know, you know, how can I start eating healthy? What can I do to start lifting weights, and what are the basic exercises? And so that's where he kind of started it all.
Okay.
Because that's his audience, you know. That's pretty much his audience. And I would say it's my audience, too. I mean, wrestling fans are generally not in the shape we are. I mean, they love watching it, but they don't like working out as much as we do.
No, wrestling fans are more shaped like me, so.
There are all kinds of shapes.
There are. Now, how many matches has Robert been to? Can you give a guesstimate?
Honey, how many matches have you been to in mine?
About 20,
he says. You think that many? Yeah, maybe around that much, yeah, over the years. But luckily, he was there to witness my favorite match of all time. So he was like, although I lost that match, but we'll just say he was kind of a good luck charm that night.
Well, that's 24/7, but yes, I understand.
Yes, he is.
So what is the rest of the summer? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was saying he's just, you know, he's always been a great motivation for me. And, you know, that's, you know, when you look for a partner in life, you just kind of, I was always a very strong woman, as all the female wrestlers are. We're all very independent and strong. And I never realized until I met him that I wanted a stronger man. And he kind of fit the bill there.
And if need be, you always have a valet.
Yes, definitely. He's always that for me.
So Gail, what is the rest of the summer looking like for you?
For the summer, well, for this July, I'm going to the UK in less than 2 weeks to do a wrestling show over there. And then I'll be coming straight back to Orlando and doing, I think we're doing 9 days in a row of TV taping. So
Ooh.
It's going to be, it's our most grueling schedule, the most grueling I've ever been through. So it's going to be interesting. We'll have 1 day off in between, right in the middle, but I don't know how all of our bodies are going to hold up. So we'll see.
I would say, what's the longest stretch of shows in a row that you've had to do?
To actually wrestle?
Yes.
Or just be a part of? Because sometimes you don't wrestle.
Let's start with wrestling.
Normal. You know, I may have done this quite as long of a stretch in, you know, 8, 9 days or 10 days, but when you're at a TV taping, you kind of give your body more. You're doing more devastating bumps, as we call them, and your body takes kind of more of a beating. So, and wrestling has really changed through the years. So it really went from being something where you kind of built more of a story for the audience to watch and get more emotionally involved, to more high action, more impact, shorter storylines, just more fast paced. So it's kind of taken a toll on everyone's bodies over the years, but luckily we get a few weeks off in between.
Okay, because I know in the old days you could do a match on Friday night, drive all night, and then have to do maybe a Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon event.
Oh no, back in the day they used to do double shots. They'd do an afternoon shot, and then they would drive a couple hours and do another show. They'd do two shows a day.
Ugh.
But mind you, they wouldn't be doing the falls or, you know, the things that we do now. So, like I said, they'd be more of a story and more about characters and getting the fans emotionally involved on a higher level. So,
speaking of dipping back, can you give us any stories or recollections of you and Dusty Rhodes?
Oh, Dusty. You know, it's so funny because Dusty, I've always kind of missed him in each company because I worked for WWE and TNA twice, both in my whole career. And when I was at WWE, Dusty was at TNA. And then when I went to TNA, Dusty went to WWE. So, I mean, I have met him many times. And the one thing that I was, and I've worked with his sons. Both of them, I worked for a while with them in WWE. Both the whole family, they're great people. And the one thing I will say about Dusty is that I never heard anything bad about Dusty ever in my life, and that he just always had this positive, happy energy. You know, the energy that you saw when he was cutting promos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the energy that he had. He was just that positive, happy influence, and that everybody loved him. So, you know, I was actually shocked to hear about his death because, you know, sometimes at one point you'd hear a lot about deaths in our industry and kind of wouldn't be surprised. You'd be sad, but that one kind of shocked me. Came out of nowhere.
Yeah, he did have that aura that he was going to live forever. And it was kind of inspiration for as a kid, because a guy of that build with that much stamina and energy was kind of a wonder.
Yeah, he really was. And like I said, he just always had a happy, positive influence on everyone. And he taught the next generation coming up. And it's sad to hear.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's shift gears. It is a film show of all kinds of ways. So I know I talked to your husband about this recently, but please tell us your thoughts about Mad Max Fury Road, which looked like the Irvine date film of the year.
Yes. I actually really, really love this movie. Number one, because those two actors are in my top three of my favorite actors, actresses to watch. And, it didn't disappoint at all. It was very, even though it had a very simple storyline, it was just, the action was so impressive. And I would not suggest to anyone to watch it, anything on the big screen, because it was just, it was incredible. Did you not think that the action was so real? It was so fast paced and it just really impressed me.
Yeah.
And the first thing we did when we came out of the movie theater is Googled how much this movie cost, because we're thinking, wow, you know that was a high production.
Yeah. One of the things I've been talking to people about, and I can't wait for the Blu-ray to come on this. And by the way, when you get it on Blu-ray, you have to get a bigger screen, because you're already going to be shaming your own screen. But the fact that the fact that it's real stunts done by real stunt people. I mean, there's a lot of action films out there that use a lot of CG. And from what I've read, most of the CG that was used was to take out some of the wire work. And that's really about it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And Nathan Jones was in that movie and played a prominent role. And he wrestled with me in WWE. And he was also in Troy. And I'm trying to think of, he's done a couple of, you know, action movies. And that was great to see him. So all I was thinking was, this must be kind of old, though, because he hasn't done anything in a long time. And when we look back, when was it filmed? It was filmed a few years ago, like 3 years ago. Mad Max.
Yeah,
it was quite, I mean, it took a while for it to come to the big screen. So it was interesting. It was great. We loved it.
Yes. And what was really cool, and I didn't know going in, I mean, we knew Charlize Theron was in it, but such a female empowerment story.
That's what I loved about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just a sucker for women who kick butt.
So are we.
Sheesh. Yeah. So, and that's the one thing I said to you recently was that, to Robert, was that the fight scene between Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron. I love that fight scene. It was so real. And because we were talking about Daredevil, the show.
Yeah.
And he said, I love the fight scenes. And at the same time, I said, I hate the fight scenes. Because I just like fight, you know, just being from wrestling, I like things that look really raw and real. And I thought everything in that movie looked really good.
And you have something to strive for in about 40 years to be those old Australian women.
Why?
Well, because we should all...
The ones that were in the movie?
Yeah, we should all be 70 and be able to handle a rifle and a bow like nobody's business.
I know. They were badass.
And it should be noted, the George Miller, this is the guy who directed the other three Mad Max films. He's 70, and he's making a film like this that rattles your fillings. There's something about experience over youth at times.
So he's the one that did it?
Correct.
The same person. Okay, yeah. So we read the story on how he was doing it, and he's been trying to do this for over 10 years. So it's pretty incredible to think that it took this long for that to be completed.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name pulled out? The original actor pulled out.
Oh, yeah, Mel Gibson was supposed to be in it in the beginning.
Right.
And then so much time had passed that I guess that... That's why they picked Tom Hardy.
And I think Hardy's a wise choice because it's been a new generation. And
yes.
I remember somebody called it, it's one of the best silent performances of the year. And I think usually a lot of actors think they need, you know, pages and pages of dialogue. But he's pretty solid with very little.
Yeah, he is good. And actually, have you ever watched the movie, I can't remember what it's called, Driven.
Oh,
he's in a
Lock.
Car. The whole...
Yeah, one of my favorite films from last year.
So he proves that he can carry a movie just sitting in a car.
Exactly.
And I remember thinking, wow, this is a Tom Hardy movie. I'm going to watch it. And I'd never heard of it. And I just kept on watching. And I'm like, okay, is this going to be in the car the whole time? And it just kept on going, but I was interested the whole time.
Exactly.
So it was a good concept.
And that was a film that, you didn't even have to have the road as an adversary. Enough going on in his head, and that was riveting enough.
Yes, definitely. That must have been a really low-budget film.
It was. So you should you should grab a camera and film Robert. Not right now, but, you know, these trips.
Yeah, people would be amazed at how much he is on the phone,
mm-hmm.
and he can tell a story.
Now, did you watch the other Mad Max films when you were younger?
You know what? I think I watched one of them, but it's so long ago, I don't remember them at all. So now I'll have to go back and watch them.
Yes, and you'll have to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you'll have to get Tina Turner's dress from Thunderdome. You'll thank me later.
It's interesting to watch older movies, and we watched one of the James Bond movies like a couple of weeks ago on TV,
mm-hmm.
and it was so cheesy to me. And I said to Robert, I go, was it that cheesy back then? Because it's really, really cheesy.
Well, which one was
it? It was GoldenEye, right? Was it GoldenEye? GoldenEye.
Oh, so the first beer. Yeah, I mean, technology has changed 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And also the story, and that was his first. So it was.
Oh, okay.
I mean, love James.
Yes, absolutely. But I think with that particular James Bond, because Timothy Dalton's were so serious and they wanted a lighter tone, and the fact that it hadn't been done in like 7 or 8 years. But yeah, there's also storylines that we've seen over the years, especially looking back 20 years later.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I never watched any of the James Bond films, and so I didn't get a feel for, you know, the Sean Connery before that or whoever it was.
Daniel
you just
Craig,
said James Dalton. Yeah, Daniel Craig is, I actually think, at first I thought, what a bad choice. But after watching the movies, I think he was a really good choice.
Yeah, I'm excited. He has a director that works with, I mean, there's a lot of great actors in this. It's not just obligatory model of the era playing the girl. I mean, it's a lot more than that. So
I always thought, why didn't they pick Hugh Jackman? But now that I'm seeing him there, I'm like, no, he's the right fit. He's definitely
and
the right fit.
Hugh's plate seems like it's pretty full as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So
we just watched Spy recently with Melissa McCarthy and Jude Law and Jason Statham. We really enjoyed it. I, you know, sometimes I don't know. Did you see it?
I have not. So I'd love to get your take on it because I saw something. But I mean, has enough time passed that we need another spy spoof? And it sounds like it's yes.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. I think if you just go into the movie with no expectations and just enjoy it for what it is, we really loved it. So we laughed a lot.
And
Robert and I are very similar. We like, for the most part, we like the same type of movie, and we always seem to agree on whether we liked it or not after.
And it'd be intriguing just to see Jason Statham do some comedy because he's never really been given that chance.
Yeah, and his character was a good one. It was, it was actually pretty funny because Robert loves him, Jason Statham, because he's normally just the same type of stereotypical action film. Yeah, and I was like, oh, I'm kind of over him. And he played a different role, and it was good.
So if you had a chance this weekend, what would you take Robert to, the new Terminator film or the new Magic Mike film?
I have no interest in the Terminator, and I don't think he does either. But I don't think he has interest in Magic Mike. But I will say, you want to see Terminator? Okay. And it's so funny because I was talking about Magic Mike, and he didn't remember that he watched it with me. And I said, yeah, babe, you're the one who said, yeah, let's go watch it. And he has no recollection of this, but he watched it with me.
It's interesting because I think if our spouse were watching, if our spouse saw us watching a film about strippers, they would kind of remember that.
Well, he doesn't remember for some reason, but I'm positive because I was thinking, oh, you don't want to watch that. And he's like, no, let's go watch it. I'm like, okay. So actually, I would probably go watch.
Because you get to see Magic Mike every night.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did. Thanks.
He said thanks. We would probably watch Ted 2.
There you go.
The reviews were kind of iffy, but we would definitely watch Ted 2. Give it a shot.
Now there's two titles I want to throw at you. I don't know I don't know how many theaters there are in your neck of the woods, but there's two smaller titles I want you to look out for.
Okay.
One is called When Marnie Was There, and it's the latest Studio Ghibli, the people that made Spirited Away and Ponyo. I'm calling it the other animated film about a young girl's emotions, because everybody knows about Inside Out, which was a lot of fun. And since it's a house full of women, you should probably check out both if possible. Inside Out was a lot of fun. Very moving.
When Marnie Was There. I'm when putting Marnie it on my phone right there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The other one is called Gemma Bovary. And it's a French-English film starring Gemma Arterton. If you saw Clash of the Titans and Tamara Drew. She was also in Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Okay.
And it's a story of a French baker. And by the way, there's some baking scenes, so that means Robert has to watch it. But it's about it's a French woman who lives next door, and it's an older baker who is the neighbor, and he has feelings for her, but she's being chased by other younger men. And you don't have to read Madame Bovary to appreciate this. But anyway, it's a small, quaint little picture in case the lines at the multiplex are really, really long.
Okay, definitely. We'll check it out.
So,
but I normally like your choices.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I try.
Are you sucking up to him?
No, I'm not. I'm telling the truth.
All right.
I'm telling the truth. He has good choices. Whenever he says, you told us to go watch Kingsman, and I love that movie.
Yes, you need blades on your legs sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. That was a pretty cool character, actually. Remember the girl with the blades on her legs?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, scary.
There's also, there was a film a few years ago called Grindhouse, which was a film by Quentin Tarantino, another one by Robert Rodriguez, and that was a woman who had a bazooka for a leg. So.
And that was, what's her name?
Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan, that's right. Yeah.
So cool.
But I'd rather have the blades. I think that's cool.
Yes.
She did really well in that movie. It was pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And yeah, it was from the same director as Kick-Ass, and the kind of over-the-top, ridiculous action, but people are aware that it's over-the-top.
I just like the story. I thought it was a little bit different, you know, from the typical. I'm over the superhero stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm over the Iron Man and Avengers and, I can't look at another movie like that.
I think Kingsman is, if you took Kick-Ass and the original TV series, The Avengers, especially the Hidden Society and the look and the fact that, you know, Colin Firth can now say he's been in an action film. So that's always, always a good thing.
I really like the cast in that movie, too.
Yeah.
And so, Robert wants to watch Ant-Man, but we'll watch it for him. But
now say, is there times where it's one for you and one for him?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, but very rarely, because we're not too far off.
Right.
Movies that we like, but we both do not like horror movies. We both do not like, what else do we not like? Cartoons.
Oh.
So we don't watch, even though Inside Out, like the animated films, even though we know they're really good and everybody tells us they're really good, we have no urge to watch them. So,
so
maybe one day.
You've just moved when Marnie was there to the bottom of the list. Okay.
Oh, no. Is that what it was? Oh, yeah. I won't watch it then. I know they're good. I know they're good. Like Inside Out has been number two on the list, on the box office hits. This week or the past couple of weeks,
right?
Or number one. So
I will
I
have
know they're good.
I will have to find some grown up animated features for you guys.
Yeah, good luck with that. Let us know.
So I guess, you know, I think if she hasn't already, Charlize Theron is already in the list of badass female action heroes. I would put Michelle Yeoh and Pam Grier on that list. Who else would you add to the squad besides yourself, dear?
Oh wow! Oh man, they're all girls that I have never really heard of.
Okay,
like the ones that you just said, the girl in Kingsman with the sword legs.
Right.
For me, it's based on performance of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think, oh man, they're so lucky they get to play that role. It's just a role of a lifetime, you know, where you just get to just kick some guy's butt. but I do love Charlize. I love Charlize. And I love Michelle. And even though she's so skinny and frail looking, I do like, Zhang Ziyi,
yes, Zhang from yeah, Crouching Zhang Tiger Zhang. As well. Agreed.
Yeah, she does a good job. She does a good job. But the thing is about Angelina Jolie, when I watched Salt, I just thought, oh, it's so not realistic because she's so skinny. She looks very weak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but most of the girls, I guess, are really skinny. I like Scarlett Johansson in the Avengers. I like that she was the only girl.
Yes. So do we.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. She's beautiful.
If you get a chance, we were mentioning Grindhouse earlier. There's a do you know Zoe Bell?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Besides being the lead, you know, being the lead in Death Proof and being Uma Thurman's stunt double in Kill Bill, but I believe there's also a documentary about her making the transition from stunt woman to action hero.
Oh, okay.
So
I love documentaries.
Good. I'll find a title and I'll make sure you get that later.
Okay.
So
sounds
cool.
Great.
Well, good. Do you remember the first film that you and Robert went to as a date?
What was the first movie we went to as a date? What was the first movie we went to as a date? Oh boy. Oh, we both don't remember.
Well, you know what? It's probably safe that you both don't remember.
Yeah, we don't remember. So sad. Well, you know what? It's because we watch so many movies. And when we actually get a chance of an evening or 2 days, we will go 2 days in a row if we have that chance, just because we love movies. Last night, so we're in Atlantic City right now, and we wanted to go for dinner and actually have a little night of gambling and fun, which we never do. And it was just so packed, and people bother Robert, you know, because they recognize him, and the tables were full because of a long weekend, and it was just more of a pain. So we just ended up walking through the casino, and then we said, let's go watch a movie. So we watched a movie in our room, and, I mean, that's our normal date in. And we watched The Golden Woman, wait, Golden Girl? Helen Mirren.
Golden. About the painting.
The painting, yeah. Helen Mirren, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yes. Woman in Gold.
Yes. Woman in Gold. That's what it's called. Yeah.
And you enjoy it?
Sleep within 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. It was okay. Definitely not one of my favorites. It was okay.
Okay.
It was very average. Nice story. I enjoyed actually the part more when Helen Mirren and Ryan Reynolds were not in it. It was more of them telling the backstory of it.
Yes.
The painting. So I enjoyed that part more than anything.
Wow. If you're in Atlantic City, God, give my regards to the Irish Pub. That's one of my all-time favorite places.
I think we drove by it last night. It's Irish Pub. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, definitely.
Yep. My dad's side of the family has a house on Long Beach Island, so spent many summers in Atlantic City.
Yeah, it's fun here. It's dying out a little bit, but this weekend is really busy.
I bet. I also have to add to your list. It's from 1980, but there's a film called Atlantic City with young Susan Sarandon, and old Burt Lancaster. And you get to see Atlantic City make the transition from arcade and piers to casinos that they have today.
Okay, Atlantic City. Adding it to my list.
There you go.
Sounds great.
All right. So what is what are you guys up to the rest of the day besides chatting with guys on the phone?
We're actually okay. So we're having a late breakfast lunch now, soon, and then we're going to go have a great workout, and then we're going to meet up with some friends and family tonight. You know Justin, he said.
Yeah.
So we're meeting up with Justin and his family. They have a house over here, and probably just hang out and chill, barbecue. And apparently we couldn't get any reservations anywhere, so we'll just do the night in thing again.
Oh, what will you guys make this weekend? What will you cook?
Oh, he's not cooking. Oh, we have no idea. Who's going to be doing the cooking?
Not me.
Yeah, not him. Someone else is doing the cooking.
Good for you. Take a day off.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Gail,
Robert does it all the time.
Yes, exactly. Well, Gail and Robert, I really, really appreciate your time. Have a great holiday weekend, and I know we'll be in touch very soon. And Robert, don't forget.
Happy 4th, buddy.
Happy 4th, man.
Happy 4th.
Hey, Robert, I got to ask you. First off.
Hold on. Let me put you.
Will you please?
Okay, go ahead.
Happy 4th of July, buddy.
Happy 4th to you too, my friend.
Time with them girls.
I will. Now, first off, the push-up challenge is killing me, just so you know. You've given me a challenge and I've been working on it
you gave me one and I just haven't had time to work on it yet.
Okay. Well, that's okay. The cast and crew, we're waiting for a response. So, we'll get to it,
I will get there, but this week was really tough. Gail already told you we launched the new food line, new bar line with all the money going to our foundation to help, our warriors and their families, kids with cancer, and Make a Wish. So,
cool. Now, congrats.
Big, you know, 2 or 3 year deal for me, and
of course,
finally come to fruition. So they can all go to Giant Foods stores and get them, and be helping somebody else, which I love. So
absolutely. So we will we'll be working on that. I can't wait to see the book. I'm sure it'll be heavy for me to lift because of these push-ups. This coffee mug is killing me, for crying out loud. But no, we'll be in touch very soon, and we'll reconnect, and it'll be a lot of fun. But have a great holiday weekend, my friend.
And you. Hey, great to talk to you.
All right, man. Take care.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye. Gail Kim and Robert Irvine on this Independence Day weekend. Thank you both so much. See, folks, your pledge dollars at work. All right, let's take a short break. And when we come back after the break, I'll talk about a couple of the films I mentioned earlier in our chat, as well as some of the titles on DVD and Blu-ray, and what's playing at the drive-ins and what's playing at midnight. There's lots to do if you want to take a break from the fireworks in all sorts of ways. So stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Socey. Big shout out and thanks to Gail Kim Irvine and her husband Robert Irvine for starting off the first half of the show. Really appreciate them. Obviously, they'll be back on the show hopefully in the next couple of months, especially with Robert and his new fitness book and my push-up challenge. Of course, he still has to learn how to serve, what to serve with Chiron and Demetrius. We're calling it Titus Impossible. Anyway. We mentioned earlier in our chat about some of the movies opening this weekend. Of course, opening is Terminator Genesis. So Arnold Schwarzenegger is back in movies yet again, as well as a reboot of that franchise. And then the sequel, Magic Mike XXL. So apparently he doesn't want to restore furniture. No, apparently it is the one last lap dance, or anyway, Steven Soderbergh and Matthew McConaughey. Well, Soderbergh's not directing this. McConaughey's not in it. Apparently, Steven Soderbergh did photograph the film, so there is that. But instead, I got to see something from Music Box Pictures, which kept me from seeing both of those films, and it's really okay. It's called Gemma Bovary. I mentioned this earlier in the show, and it stars Gemma Arterton, as well as Fabrice Luchini, and it's a story set in a French countryside village, and we have an aging baker who has taken over his dad's bakery, and some new neighbors from London have moved next door, of course, a new married couple, and of course, it's Gemma Arterton. If she moves next door, that's a major event. And as he watches and admires from afar, of course, other younger men in her life are seeking after her. I'm sorry, NPR. And she's the object of many young men's affections as well as older men. The older man affection as he watches from a distance. Now, do you need to read or be familiar with Madame Bovary to appreciate this film? No, you do not. But it is a quaint, low-key romantic comedy. Little drama thrown in for good measure. It's a nice alternative to the big loud blockbusters that are out right now. I have a special place in my heart for Gemma Arterton. I can hear Gina's eyes roll as well as my wife and daughters. That's really okay. But it is a story of an older man with feelings for a younger woman, and it does not have as big an ew factor as that sounds on this one. It's respectfully handled. And it's a nice alternative to the films that are out there right now. So if you get a chance, go and check out Gemma Bovary. It's from director Anne Fontaine, who also gave us Adore as well as Coco Before Chanel. So that, yes, that anyway. And beautiful French countryside. Nice stuff there. Okay, because the Rolling Stones are in town, you could rent the documentary Gimme Shelter. Just don't tell Mick and Keith and the boys about that. That's the gut-wrenching documentary of the Altamont Speedway concert when the 60s really, really died. Okay, a few titles of note for your weekend festivities. At the Keystone Art on the north side of Indianapolis is a part of their Midnight Madness series. I heard good times were had by all at the room last weekend. Sorry I couldn't make it. I was too busy being on stage in Titus Andronicus. But this weekend, Friday and Saturday night at midnight, the final cut of Ridley Scott's Blade Runner. So I have been fortunate enough to see this film twice in the theaters. I saw it with my dad when it came out in 1982, and then got to see the director's cut in 1992 with some guys from my film genre class when we were at the Ball State University, and we made the road trip from Muncie to Indy to see that. So a great chance to see this on the big screen once again. Just a visual wonder and properly presented storytelling, because it was finally done to Ridley Scott's approval. So, yeah, none of that Harrison Ford voiceover. Really nice work from Rutger Hauer, even Sean Young, Edward James Olmos, as well as William Sanderson and Daryl Hannah. So nice stuff there. That is this weekend. So if you get a chance, go see that on the big screen. Just a reminder, July 10th and 11th, it has been creeping up, but the Noel Marshall film Roar, starring Tippi Hedren, Melanie Griffith, and a bunch of live wild animals in Africa, is going to be at the Keystone Arts on the 10th and 11th of July. And when we saw the lineup for the Midnight Movie Series this summer, that was the one that kind of stood out because it was one we did not know. And now that we've seen the trailer and read up more about it, you need to go see this. So don't be surprised if you see the Film Sociology crew at Roar on July 10th. Friday nights tend to work better for me. Anyway, July 17th and 18th, of course, the Robert Zemeckis film Back to the Future 2, because of the 2015 joke that's in that film. And then closing out the summer series, July 24th and 25th, Goldfinger. Gotta see Goldfinger. Gotta see a Bond film on the big screen whenever possible. What was your first Bond film on the big screen? Mine was The Spy Who Loved Me in 1978. Thank you, Barbara Bach. My daughter's was Skyfall. So one of the coolest moments I've had as a father, and probably the coolest moment as a cinema dad, was being able to watch my daughter watch Skyfall. The way that worked was I had seen the film already at a press screening and loved it, and then to take my family to see it and then watch Emma watch Skyfall. Very cool. As far as her reactions to the stunts and the fact that Judi Dench is M, her name was Emma, and the revealing of Miss Moneypenny. And I'm sorry, if you haven't seen Skyfall yet, you have problems. Anyway, just a pure satisfying experience of father-daughter and wife, a family movie night out. So anyway, that is out at the Keystone Arts. IU Cinema is on vacation until August 6th with the documentary The Wolf Pack. So that will happen Thursday, August 6th. We'll get to that. We already mentioned. So, yeah, again, Blade Runner, Roar, Back to the Future 2, Goldfinger at the Keystone Arts Cinemas. Over at the IMA, of course, tonight at 7, on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Well, it won't start at 7. It'll wait till it gets dark. But from 1975, the film that scared the crap out of me as a kid, Steven Spielberg's Jaws. When I was 7, I saw this in a theater in Long Beach Island, New Jersey. The second reference to Long Beach Island, New Jersey in the show. And scared the daylights out of me. People were screaming. My grandfather, who I thought was the old man in the sea, walked out. And then the next day, my father, God love him, took me to the beach and lifted me over his head and marched toward the water singing, dudent, and it scared the bejesus out of me. Just scared me. And then we went fishing later that week, and I caught a baby shark, and that scared me to death. But if you want to know how that story ends, ask me the next time you see me on the street. There's a fun ending to go with that. So that is, and the fact that that was a piece of celluloid, that was a movie that had this huge, strong effect really resonated, and I think that's probably what might have started. That was the first seed in the plant that is film sociology. So, thanks, Jaws, and you got Robert Shaw on the USS Indianapolis Beach. To mark your calendars in advance, July 10th at the IMA, Flash Gordon. Wow, and that. Yeah, they're going to do that. That's going to be a campy night. Saturday, July 11th, will be the Indiana Black Expo Film Festival at the IMA. Special event, the 17th through the 26th, of course, the Indie Film Fest. So we'll be getting, when that gets a little bit closer. Shaun of the Dead on July 17th as part of their Friday night series. Elf on July 24th. Major League on July 31st, Singing in the Rain on August 7th, The Big Lebowski on August 14th, I think Emma's going to want to see that with the group, as well as The Shining on Friday, August 21st, Ferris Bueller's Day Off on Friday, August 28th, and as a part of their market calendars way down the road, as part of their Serial Cinema series, Saturday, September 5th at 10 a.m. at the Toby. They'll be watching Explorers, and then November 7th at the Toby at 10 a.m. as part of the Serial Cinema series, The Secret of Nim, which I showed Emma last year, and she kind of liked it. So, yeah, dark animation from the early 80s. So that is what is happening at the IMA. Okay, over at the Tibbs. Well, let's see. On screen one, we have Inside Out and Jurassic World. Kind of an odd pairing there, a little bit, I guess. The Socies got to see Inside Out last week. Absolutely loved it. Much more than there have been stories and reports about the parts of the film going over kids' heads. I don't mind that, and it doesn't. It's okay if it does, but it does capture, of course, the story of an 11-year-old girl and all of her emotions and the different people, different feelings, character creatures that that run her emotions, that run her mind, and what happens when a family picks up and leaves. There is a moment, there is a big chunk of the movie that is a road trip, just like Monsters, Inc., just like Finding Nemo. Of course, that's the journey between joy and sadness. But it really, as a father, it really resonated with me. As somebody who's been through this, it really resonated with me. So I think the older you are, the more you'll get out of it. And anyway, very emotionally charged, very satisfying. I of course mentioned if you like that, then you should also see Marnie, because that's another fine animated film about a young girl's emotions. So that is out there. So anyway, yeah, Inside Out and then Jurassic World. Okay. Then we have on screen two, Ted 2 and Dope, two R-rated comedies. There you go. Screen three, two action films, two PG-13 action films, Terminator Genesis and San Andreas. Okay. And then screen four, Magic Mike XXL and Spy. And you heard Gail and Robert's review of Spy as well as Ted 2. So that is happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. Over at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. Here we go. At, 9:30 or 9:30-ish. Inside Out, and then at 11:30 p.m., Tomorrowland. I'm surprised that's still in the drive-ins, really. And then 1:30 a.m., Jurassic World, and then 4 a.m., July 4th, from 1948. Now, for those who don't know, the Skyline Drive-In has been really good about pulling a lesser-known, smaller, older, obscure a film that would fit in a drive-in or a grindhouse theater, late at night, and it's, you know, so it'll wreck your Saturday, but it's worth it. But at 4 a.m. on July 4th, from 1948, Unknown Island, and the description reads: Adventure seeker Ted Osborne has convinced his fiancee Carol to finance his expedition to an uncharted South Pacific island supposedly populated with dinosaurs. It stars Virginia Gray, Philip Reed, and Richard Denning from 1948. So it's Jurassic World, only shorter. So anyway, that is happening at the Skyline Drive-In. Go to skylinedrivein.com. There's also a live music series over at the drive-in, and I'm pulling up the page now. I love when production meetings are happening during the show itself. Taz Crew is playing tonight at 7:30 p.m. Benito DiBartoli is happening tomorrow night at 7:30. Thursday, July 9th, Antenna Man is playing at the drive-in on Thursday the 9th. And then Friday the 10th, Dwight Lightning and the Conch City All-Stars, as well as Dickie James and the Blue Flames on Saturday the 11th. So that is happening at the Skyline Drive-In. Okay. Let's move on to what is new on DVD and Blu-ray. Well, we have Get Hard, Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart, the eighth Kevin Hart film in the last 9 months. Yes, jokes about prison rape. Okay. We have Last Nights with Morgan Freeman and Clive Owen. Nobody saw it. Danny Collins with Al Pacino, Annette Bening, and Christopher Plummer. Apparently, Pacino's attempt to try to get... I just want one more home run out of Al Pacino. Just one. Or even a stand-up triple. But so apparently he's trying to do that. We also have The Gunman, Sean Penn's contribution to the aging action hero of genre. It's okay. You know, it's directed by Pierre Morel. Pretty good cast. Sean Penn, Idris Elba, Javier Bardem, Ray Winston. But we've seen the story before. It's just now Sean Penn's turn to tell it. So there you go. However, opening also on DVD and Blu-ray this week is the latest film from writer-director Noah Baumbach called While We're Young. And it stars Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts, Adam Driver, and Amanda Seyfried. Charles Grodin's also in this. But Stiller and Watts play a middle-aged couple. They're my age. And how their lives and their marriage are turned around by hanging out with a younger couple played by Driver and Seyfried. And it's kind of a look at, you know, the idea of when you are married and you have children or don't have children, that you are put into a certain camp. And there's pressure from the other 40-something couples about them having kids and what they do for fun. And the fact that the Stiller and Watts both are kind of hypnotized by the young couple's energy and their creativity. And it just puts a spark in them in all kinds of ways. But because it's Noah Baumbach, it's not a one-dimensional, oh, look at the old people being funny. Look at the old people acting young. It's not shooting fish in a barrel. It's not an easy pickings as far as that type of humor. There's some heart to it. There's some depth to it. And Stiller, not fidgety, well, not as annoying fidgety as he has been in other films. Nice to see Watts do a comedy. And, yeah, so it's... There are other titles out there on Blu-ray. Go check this one out. I know it played in the art houses. Probably not enough people got to see this one, in my opinion. So go check out While We're Young. Also out, Criterion has the Jack Nicholson-Bob Raffleson collaboration, Five Easy Pieces, out on Blu-ray. And you also have not one, not two, but three Italian action futuristic action films from Enzo Castrialli. This is, of course, the man that gave us the original Inglourious Basterds. You're welcome, Quentin. But we have, and I believe all three star Fred Williamson as well, Escape from the Bronx, 1990, The Bronx Warriors, and The New Barbarians from 1983. Escape from the Bronx, New Barbarians from 1983, 1990, The Bronx Warriors from 1982, all with Fred Williamson, all now out on Blu-ray because you need these on Blu-ray for that clearer picture. So there you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we just have a few more minutes left in the show. And since I had two great voices of health and wellness on the first half of the show, Robert Irvine and Gail Kim, here's my chat. This is from, I think, last year, year and a half, 2 years. It's been a while, but it's fun. Anyway, here is my chat with actress, model, and lifestyle guru, Molly Sims. Enjoy.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Molly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Now, I have to know, which number reporter am I talking to you today?
I think you're number one,
Matthew. Oh, that's very good. So I will eliminate the next question. That's great. So
you can eliminate the next question. I think you're caller number one.
Ah, fantastic. So how are things in your world?
My world is good. We just got into New York City. I partnered with Pons on their Luminous line to help women brighten up their dull skin. So I'm in the middle of writing a book called The Everyday Supermodel, which gives you tricks of the trade in my business and feeling and looking good. But and it's cold here. I don't know where you are. Actually, you're in Indianapolis. We're in New York City, and it's quite the freezing weather.
For us, it's the Midwest in early March, so it's not that big of a shock. So, what are some of the other tips that you can give as far as you know, especially for me? Next week, I'm shaving my beard, so I need some beauty tips.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you want to use the Luminous line? It's really great. It has a great exfoliant, but don't over exfoliate, especially after you do your beard, wait a couple of days because it's new skin. It's like baby skin. But it's great when you shave because that's also something that makes you kind of look bright. Ben Affleck just did it. He shaved that beard off. So make sure you cleanse. Make sure you moisturize. Do you take a lot of pictures?
Yes, I do. I'm on Facebook and on WFYI.org.
Okay, so tip that camera down. Tip it up and tip it down. Makes you look about 2 to 3 pounds thinner.
Okay.
And if you can learn to retouch and filter yourself in your photos, you'll be fantastic.
And take about 15 to 30 pounds off. But that's fine. That's a good start.
Do you juice, Matthew?
I juice, but not as regimental as I probably should.
You got to do it every day. And I'm not talking orange juice and pineapple juice. and blueberries. I'm talking kale and spinach and parsley and carrot and apple. See, I'm telling you, it helps you. It starts your day off. If you can have coffee, you can still have your coffee. I'm not going to make you do hot water and lemon, but you got to get your green juice in sometime during the day.
If I call you Mrs. Sosie, don't be offended to that. It sounds just like my lovely wife.
You can call me Mrs. Sosie. It's fine. I am a nagging wife to my husband. I'm called Mrs. Stuber. Yeah.
And how is your son doing?
He's awesome. He's so fun. He just started crawling. We put him on grass yesterday, and it was interesting. I don't know. The same way I thought he would know how to eat a Cheerio, but he couldn't get it into his mouth. But we're working on it.
Well, good.
For 8 months.
Excellent. Congratulations.
But you and your viewers can go to Pawns on Facebook. We're doing a 30-day Luminous Photo Challenge where all the girls can send in luminous pictures of themselves and win great prizes and awards. So make sure and do that. You can get more tips, Matthew.
Okay. And what is the latest on MollySims.com?
MollySims.com. MollySims.com is more of, it's my blog. It's a lifestyle blog. We cover everything from health to fitness to what I'm doing. I'm co-hosting with Anderson Cooper this Thursday. So it's kind of a day-to-day thing of, you know, of what I'm interested in, whether it be, you know, food or health or fitness or girlfriend problems or husband problems. It's a good site.
And guys, there's this thing in between the pictures. They're called words. Check them out on the page.
Exactly.
So I have a film show, so I'm wondering, what movies have you watched recently?
Well, I'm going to plug my husband a little bit. He just produced this movie called Identity Thief, and we were number one 2 weeks ago and number one last week. So it's a really good movie. It's with Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy. It's a fun, it's, you know, it's raunchy, but it's fun.
Good raunchy fun. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like it.
Yeah, I saw the pictures on the red carpet. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a lot of
great buzz about the film.
And also Silver Linings Playbook, which I know we just had the Oscars and it didn't win for Best Picture, but it's a phenomenal, phenomenal movie. Bradley Cooper is amazing and Jennifer Lawrence. I probably Argo and Silver Linings Playbook were my two favorite last year.
Excellent. So have you planned what the first film for your son will be?
I have not.
Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch. He was in a little video of himself trying to touch grass yesterday, so that's his first little video.
Well, you should do the DVD commentary for that.
I know, right? He's about to touch it. Wait, hold.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The woman that allows me to call her Mrs. Sosie. I can hear Lynn and Emma's eyes rolling now. Molly Sims, because just reminders that I need to have more green juice and do more push-ups on this July 4th holiday. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here are some words to live by.
Hi, I'm Robert Irvine, and you're listening to Film Sociology, WFI in Indianapolis.
Hey, this is TNA Knockout Gail Kim, and you're listening to Film Sociology.
This is TNA Knockout Gail Kim, and you're listening to Film Sociology.
Wait a minute, those aren't the words to live by, although those are pretty good. These are the words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
I hope everybody has a great, safe, relaxing, and memorable July 4th weekend. Of course, I'll be on the air with the Blues House Party tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Blues, according to the Rolling Stones, on tomorrow night's Blues House Party. And if you need a break from the barbecue and from the family, go see a good movie. You deserve it. Have fun, everyone. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California. Good night, Michigan. Good night, Long Beach Island, New Jersey.